Good to see everybody out tonight. A few different faces here, visiting and others, and we appreciate you being here. And we all ask you to open your Bible study along with us. I've been talking about angels. So this will be our fourth and final lesson on this. And almost yesterday when I was putting on Facebook, I kind of put a little bit of a notice about what I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. And I almost feel like saying, you know, this would be like 101 lessons or 101 questions on angels, but you were afraid to ask. And I was afraid to do that because people don't always understand what I'm talking about or don't know how to take me. And I almost thought about the title of Angels Not in the Closet, but they may be closer than what you think. And the idea of this lesson is when we talk about angels, we often, the people sometimes have different viewpoints than angels. And so I decided, though, the title is basically one that we could have use here. Are there angels around us? And maybe another subtitle of that would be, are you an angel? As we study through the Bible, we had talked about the fact that angel is used, and really the word that translates angel is also translated in different ways, depending on the context, as that of a messenger. And talk about him and messengers. For instance, the Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah. And those messengers went with a threat. They weren't actually godly messengers at all, or people that were delivering the word of God. But there, they could have actually translated the word angel there, but that would be kind of misleading. We have a certain idea about what angels are. And then also we find that passages such as Haggai 1 verse 3, that there the word messenger is used referring to the prophet himself. Haggai the prophet, Haggai the messenger, right here. And then also we notice in our lesson that Malachi 2 verse 7, and therefore he has the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Well, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the priest that's going to proclaim the word of God. So there we have the priest talked about. And then in Malachi 3 verse 1, and there it said, behold, I'm going to send my messenger. And when you read the context of that passage, what he's doing is actually talking about John the Baptizer, John the Immerser. Is there the messenger of God? And so we have to remember that sometimes even the word angel is used talking about the heavenly host. And that's usually what we think of whenever we hear the word angel. But sometimes we use that word in a kind of, well, I would say, a combinative way. In other words, we use it sometimes to describe people. For instance, we may say to somebody, you may look at somebody and say, well, you look like an angel. And you kind of think about that. What do the angels look like? Well, you know, in the Bible we find they're talking about being in the appearance of men and passages like that, but usually we're not talking about it in that way. We're talking about somebody that looks beautiful, or somebody looks, we may use the word angelic. And we may say to somebody, you are my angel. I mentioned earlier lesson that whenever we had this satellite dish on the trailer and it fell off in the middle of the road, and those three guys in a car behind us pulled up, and they helped actually pick up that satellite dish and put it back on the trailer and help us strap it down. And the guy said that, well, you know, he told his companions, do you want to be an angel today? I didn't argue with him about that. Now, I didn't say, well, now let's talk about what the word angel means there. And I was thinking, well, if you want to be an angel, that's fine, as long as you help me get this thing back on the trailer. And so we may think about in that sense, if somebody comes to our aid in time of distress, we may say, you're my angel. Or we can say you're just like an angel. And again, using whatever way you want to there, but we hear those phrases used from time to time. But yeah, if somebody would ask you, if somebody come up to you and say, are you an angel? Yeah, I don't think most of us say, well, yes, I am. You caught me right here. Yeah, I'm an angel. And that's because, again, when we think about angels, we think about what we talked about in earlier lessons as far as their nature about being heavenly hosts. But it got me thinking some about this in a sense that there are some things maybe we hadn't thought about that are really very similar between angels and us. And for instance, if you think about the nature of angels, well, in an earlier lesson we have pointed out, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we kind of pointed out that angels are spiritual beings. And that is, we find passages in the Bible such as Psalms 148, verses 1 through 5, when it talks about the fact that they were created beings. They're not deity, and therefore they had to have a creation, had to have a start. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly when God created the beings. It was part of the day 1 or day 3 or day 4 or day 5 or 6 of Genesis 1st chapter. We find, though, that they are not eternal beings, and therefore they had to be created. And then along that line, there we also know that they are not physical in nature. And the reason I say that is because the Bible talks about them being in heaven. And over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, the Apostle Paul said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." And he goes ahead and talks about the idea of heaven here as far as where we're going to go with this life. So we understand here that they're not made of flesh and blood. They may take on the appearance of that when people saw them in the Old Testament. But we find here that they are spiritual beings. Also, we understand that they are eternal, that they don't grow, that we don't think about angels dying in a sense of having an end of their cessation, an end of their life. And so we look here and we think, well, that's things that we, I think, would agree upon, angels as far as their nature. And but we start thinking about that in the sense of angels, spiritual beings, but also we are also. And now we're created also. And that is, we had a beginning. Man had a beginning. In Genesis 1st chapter 26-27, as it reads then, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Notice how many times in this passage that word image is used there. Now, what's it referring to? Is it referring to the physical body of man? Well, no, because God, when he said make man in our image, God is not a physical being. Jesus tells us that God is a spirit. And those who worship him is worship the spirit of truth in John 4, verse 24. And so we understand that the word image there does refer to our physical body. But it refers to something more about man. And that is, man was made in a spiritual image of God. And so we go on, and over in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed to his nostrils breath of life, and man became a living being." And so when we look at the Bible, we find that it says about man that we have a physical body. But also our physical body is temporary. It's something that will eventually perish away, eventually go back to the dust of the ground. And we understand that when we look at the generations, they come and go. But on the other hand, we understand that there's something about us that is not going to end when this life's over with. And the Sadducees did not believe in the idea of the spiritual part of man. They did not believe in the angels. They did not believe in man having a soul. And so they believed that when we died, that was the end of it. Much like the modernists today, the humanists today. And much like that, sometimes people, as they think about the night of the resurrection of Christ, Paul may have mentioned that if in this life only we have hope, then we are of all men most pitiable. In other words, if all we have is this physical life, eventually we're going to die and that's going to be it. However, man has a inside, our spiritual side, our soul, that's inside of man. And that part of man, and that's the part of us, the reasons, the part of the things, that's part of man in God's image. And that part of man does not grow to die. Regina's grandmother, whenever I had a chance to meet her while I was preaching shows in Indiana, she was at that time a member of the church there. And she was, I don't know, Regina, she's probably about 9 years age about that time I met her. And one time she made a comment. And I saw a picture of her one time when she was like 18 or 19 years of age. And anyway, she made a comment. She said, "I don't know how it happened, but say one day she looked in the mirror and she says, I realized I got old." And she said, "I don't feel old. I don't feel old inside." And that's the way life is. That's the way we are. We may get tired sometimes, but the inside of the body does not grow old. Abraham is a good example of one who understood there's more to life than simply the physical nature of life. For instance, Abraham, when he was promised by God the land of Canaan, and I read about his life in the Old Testament, that I'm talking about his faith in Hebrews 11 verse 8, it said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now obviously that's referring to the land of Canaan. When God made him that promise back in Genesis 12 chapter, said, I'll show you the land. So he left not knowing what God's talking about there. But he goes on and said, by faith he dwelt the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the earth with him, the same promise. And that is that when he lived his life there, he never did go back home. Never did go back to Ur of Chaldees. Why did he do that? Because he lived by faith. He lived in that foreign country. That wasn't his home. But then verse 10 says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, builder and maker is God. And this is the point of it, and that is Abraham didn't stay out there just because he wanted the land. Abraham could have stayed home and had land. Abraham went because he was looking for something better. He was looking for something spiritual in nature. And that's the city he's talking about here, was a spiritual city of God. And so Abraham understood the fact that there's a spiritual side of man. Well, sometimes we hear the phrase of talking about life, and you'll hear the phrase such as the real world. I remember in school, in high school and college both, that sometimes we talk about the real world. The teacher may say, well, you know, this here is what the textbook says, and then they would preface by saying, but in the real world. And what that meant was, okay, theoretically this is what we should do, but in practicality that really isn't what you do out there. Okay, well, sometimes people look at the world around us and we may think, well, you know, the Bible says this here, and I understand I can fill out the question in the lesson sheet and that'll be the answer at once there. But when you leave the pulpit, when you leave the church building, then you're out there in the real world. And that's what sometimes people say, well, that's maybe what the Bible says, but you know what? That's not really what you can do or what you have to do. No, really, we understand the real world is the spiritual world. That over in Job, it talks about man's soul will not perish. Everything else around here is, for lack of a better word, a facade. And that is, we look at things, we think these things are permanent, we think these things are almost as if we act as if these things are eternal. But they're not. Anything you look at that's physical has a limited time, has a limited duration. The one thing that will exist beyond this is our soul. And Job 7 verse 6, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. If all we have right now is all our hope is based on the physical, it says there is no real hope. Because our days pass very quickly. And so we realize that man's soul is that it will never perish. Much like the angels, we talk about their souls are eternal. But not only that, but also angels have free will. And we point out, in fact, that Jude, verses 5 and 6 there, it said, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord was saving the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in the everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. A comparison between those in Egypt that were destroyed by God and the angels. They're not just robots. And they're not wind-up toys. They simply had no choice what they're going to do. They also have free will, as he's talking about in this passage. And in fact, we may find, notice the passage says, the ability to obey and disobey God. I mean, that's what free will is all about, right? When God says do something, that they could either, again, do what God said or not to. 2 Peter 2 verse 4, it says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down a hill and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And he's making a point talking about if God punished them, then God also punished us today. But just notice here, angels sinned against God. And therefore they had, some of them chose not to obey God. Well, the thing about it again, men, we understand we have free will. unlike the doctrine of Calvinism, which says that everything we do has already been predestined or predetermined by God, and we're simply following the script of God as set for us. Now, the Bible says, no, that we, in fact, really do choose our own path of life. I thought about this in the sense that we think about Cain in Genesis 4th chapter. And there in verse 7, God tells him that sin lies at the door, but your desire is, or you could overcome it. Cain had a choice. Either sacrifice the way it pleased God or disobey God. We think about Joshua. Over in Joshua 24 verse 15. When Joshua said, choose you this day, he will serve. And goes ahead and says, for as me and my household will serve God. All the way through the Bible, the idea of choice is fundamental. And what we have to do, whether to choose God or not to choose God. And so we think about this, and that we find people like Moses, for instance, that he had choice. That he, whenever that God spoke to him, he had choice whether to listen to God or not to listen to God. And so Hebrews 11 verse 24, it said, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Again, he had a choice to make there. And he chose to obey God in this passage. On the other hand, we have Judas. And Judas chose to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And we have passages such as Matthew 26, verse 14. And there it said, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, why are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted to him 30 pieces of silver. So in that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. He looked for the opportunity. He decided to go and bargain for how much they were willing to give him. And he decided to do this. And so we look and realize that the same thing goes for us. That God did not make us wine of toys. God did not make us to be robots and just mindlessly do what he says. We have freedom of choice also. That's part of our nature. And so our nature is similar in that sense there. We're spiritual beings with freedom of choice. But then also you start thinking about angels and thinking about the role or work of angels. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about in an earlier lesson. And we pointed out the angels had a lot of things they did in the Bible.